We're involved in our Enemies of the Heart series with our family fellowship meals on the fourth Sunday nights. And so tonight we're looking at this series once again and talking about the subject of jealousy. We began back in the month of January by thinking about how all things go through our heart, and our hearts are like a complicated intersection of the interstate. And everything comes in, but it leaves changed and transformed by what our heart does to it. And so as we live out our life, our heart's going to impact our relationships. And tonight we're talking about one of the great enemies of the heart, jealousy. And this comes from, the main thoughts and ideas are coming from a book called Enemies of the Heart by Andy Stanley, and he has chapters on each of these subjects. And in that book, he talks about these various enemies of the heart, and he mentions four of them, and he relates each of them to the idea of owing. And so we talked about guilt already, which was I owe you. And we feel guilty when we feel like we owe others, and many times those are legitimately earned debts that we have. And then we're going to speak in future lessons about anger, where we are mad at someone because we feel like they owe me. And then greed, I owe me. In other words, greed is about I deserve more and I want more and I'm owed more. And then tonight we're talking about jealousy. And this one is going to come at it from a little different angle, probably not one that you've often considered with jealousy. But it's about God owes me. God owes me. And we'll think more about that and come to understand that as we progress through our lesson. First of all, as we think about jealousy, Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 22, that it comes from the heart. In the passage Austin read, it talks about how when jealousy is present, all kinds of dissension and cravings and problems are present. In the book of James, James is going to talk about the idea about how wherever jealousy or envy is evil in every vile practice. And so as we think about jealousy, jealousy is something that accompanies and is often a key cause of the relationship problems we have. And it's the enemy of our heart. All of us at certain degrees, I think, struggle with jealousy. As we look around and as we think about things, and oftentimes these are unexpressed things. We maybe don't verbalize them. But it may be a family member or a close friend that we really like a lot. But we look at their life, maybe as ladies. We look at ladies, look at the way their figure, their body, or their health, or their certain things about them. Or maybe us as men, we look at the job they have, the career they have, the success they have, maybe the family they have. Maybe like we talked about this morning with divorce. Maybe we've gone through a real problem in our life, and we look at their marriage, we look at their life, and we look at their kids. And social media plays into this a lot. We see the pictures of their family. And we secretly, it's not that we don't want them to have it. And I think this is a key distinction with jealousy. It's not that we don't want them to have that car, if it is, that we're jealous over, or that life, that job, or whatever it may be. It's just that we want that car, job, or life as well. And this is how it gets into God owes me. Because ultimately what we're saying is, why did God bless them with these things and not bless me with them? God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, James 1:17. So why did he give these things to them? But and then we focus on our struggles, the problems we got. And why am I dealing with this? Why is this my burden? And it especially plays into, I'm a faithful Christian. Those pagans down the road, they ain't been to church since Easter 2012. And God blesses them still, and they've got more things than I can even dream about having. And we get jealous. And we don't put it in these kind of terms, but what we're really saying is, it really we focus on the relationships, we focus on the people. We don't think about what our jealousy is saying about God.
And so we're thinking about this concept of God owes me. In the Bible, we have multiple examples, and I'm going to run through these pretty quickly. Hopefully, you're familiar with most of these stories. But in the Bible, we have family jealousy. Genesis 4, 1 through 7. Cain and Abel, the first murder. Why was that all a story in the Bible? Because they were jealous. Cain was jealous. His jealousy mastered his heart. Remember, God told him that sin is crouching at the door. If he didn't keep jealousy at bay, it was going to overtake him. He was jealous. Now, let me ask you this. Did he have a valid reason? He was jealous because Abel was rewarded for doing right. And it inflamed his ego. And it conquered all reason. And Cain is going to murder his brother Abel. And then you got the next story in the book, or one of the next stories in Genesis, is the famous story of jealousy of the 10 brothers. Now, did Jacob do right in all of his favoritism to Joseph and Benjamin? Well, Jacob certainly probably did not do right in some of his favoritism. But think about the jealousy of the 10 brothers that caused them to sell their brother, to lie to their father, and to make it out like he had been murdered, and to send him off down to Egypt. Jealousy. In the next, one of the other stories in Genesis, and this is the story of Rachel and Leah. And of course, Leah, very fruitful, having a lot of children. Rachel, and this, I should have put this one before, because this is the reason the 10 brothers were jealous, because they were children of Leah and handmaids and things. And Benjamin and Joseph are going to be born unto Rachel. And so Jacob's going to value them more. But there's a lot of jealousy and there's a lot of scheming that goes on in that story between Rachel and Leah for the love and the affection of Jacob. Family jealousy. And then in the Bible we see work or success jealousy. In the book of Daniel, the governors and the satraps were jealous of Daniel. And they go to the king in Daniel chapter 6, and they have the king make a rule that no one can pray to their God except the king. And the whole reason for that whole thing in Daniel in the lion's den story was the jealousy of these other officials. They were jealous because this Jewish man had arisen above them. They were jealous of it. And the next story that I want to mention is a very famous one, of course, with Jesus. And how the Pharisees and scribes were so jealous of the popularity and the power of Jesus. And it was about the people. And the Bible says that Pilate realized that he was turned over to them, to him, because of envy. Because of envy. They hated Jesus because they feared his power with the people. They were jealous. You know, the whole scene of the temple, when Jesus goes in and cleanses the temple and drives out the money changers, that was a direct assault upon the Jewish leadership. And it was a direct attack about their hypocrisy. You think about what Jesus did. Well, that caused them to fear. That caused them to be jealous as the multitudes were following him, as he was attacking their financial base. See, they were jealous. And then in Philippians chapter 1, 15 through 18, Paul experienced jealous preachers. As I was studying and reading for this too, the author, might have been in Stanley's book, talked about how, it was in his book, because he talked about how he, as a preacher, and how preachers struggle with jealousy. And he says, you know, preaching is not a performance, but in some ways it is connected with performance. We talk about, you know, I enjoyed that sermon. And let's be honest, we all like to hear certain preachers more than we like to hear other preachers. And both preachers are preaching the Word of God, but there's a reason why we like to hear certain preachers, because they can connect with us and we can benefit from their lessons and things like that. That leads to jealousy. Ricky was here this morning. We talked about his work and he shared all the things going on. You think there's some preachers in India that are jealous of him? You think that's a struggle there? I guarantee you it is. Missions is fraught with problems with jealousy. Jealous of that he got to come to the U.S. Jealous that he has support from the U.S. Jealous that he has a TV program. We have the same thing in the States, but we have the same thing in, not only in preaching, but in the church. We can be jealous. Well, I don't know why that person got the favoritism, in our view, favoritism of the elders, or favoritism of the church, or why the church did this. They're just a part of that clique. Sometimes it gets back to jealousy, doesn't it? Jealousy. Why were they blessed when I was not blessed? You see, these issues here, family jealousy, work success jealousy, popularity, power jealousy, all those are good people. I mean, we're dealing with Joseph. We're dealing with Abel. We're dealing with Rachel and Leah and Jacob, Daniel. And they dealt with the issues of jealousy. So what is jealousy? What is it actually as we think about it? It's this concept, as I was mentioning, that God owes you. And if we want to dive into that a little further, let's go to James chapter 4. We'll be looking at James, Lord willing, next week when we return to our study of James. It just so happens that these lessons kind of coincide. Because if you look at James chapter 3, we want to pick up in verse number 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. For this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Look at verse 16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, when we are focused on ourselves and we're jealous of others, there will be disorder in every vile practice. That's why families struggle many times, as there are, you know, various brothers and sisters in a family, and mom and dad are getting older, and maybe mom and dad pass away and struggle to all get along. Those families, you think about it, over 50, 60 years from those time those kids were born to now, they're all adults and they've lived their life. You think about financially how different they are. Maybe spiritually they're very different. Family-wise, they're very different. Some of them have had big families. Some of them have had small families. Maybe some of them have had one or two divorces and problems, and other ones have not. And you think about all those things, and it's ripe for families to have a lot of problems over jealousy and discord and arguments. And that's what James is saying. He's saying that where jealousy exists, there is disorder and every vile practice. In the church, we have to be on guard against this. So now let's go to chapter 4. After writing that in chapter 4, he says, what causes quarrels? What causes fights among you? James has the answer here. Where do the fights come from? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? There's a common denominator between all of our relationship problems. Common denominator between the problems we have at work, problems we have at home, problems we have at church. When we're jealous of people, there's a common denominator. Anybody figure it out? It's you. James says, where do these things come from? They come from your passions that are at war within you. So it's not about that the people down the road have a bigger house, a nicer car, or a better job. The struggle, the quarrel, my fighting with them comes from within me. It comes from within me because it's a struggle in our own heart, in our own mind, of how am I going to handle that other people have different blessings, different talents, different measures than myself. Am I going to be upset with them about it? Am I going to try to take it from them? Or am I going to be greedy? Am I going to demand that I have it? Am I going to be upset at God? Why has God blessed them and not me? You see, it's within ourselves. Back to chapter 3, it says it's connected with selfish ambition. Look at verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. For you desire and do not have, so you murder. Probably maybe a reference back to Abel. You want, but you don't have. One of the big things with jealousy is that the have-nots are jealous of the who? Jealous of the haves. People that don't have are jealous of the haves. What's James saying? you desire and you don't have. You don't have things. Why? Because you covet and you cannot obtain, and you fight and you quarrel, and you do not have because you do not ask. You don't ask. You ask and do not receive, verse 3, because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. When we think about jealousy and take it a step farther, it's this concept that God owes us. And God has given the other people things and not given it to us. And as we think about James 4 here, this is the battle that is within us. And here's the key concept I want you to get. What God is saying is that the main problem is that you're not getting what you want. That's really where our jealousies come from. If we weren't focused on our own selfish ambitions, we wouldn't be jealous, would we? Lots of times we're jealous because someone shows us what we really want. And so the solution is found here in verse 3. To trust the Lord to give us what we need. Now, I've got 4 kids. I have 4 because I didn't want to have 5, right? But if Amanda and myself gave our kids, even if we could afford it, everything they wanted, would it be good for the kids? Well, would it? And y'all, everybody understands that kids are kids, and especially when they're toddlers and things like that, they just want everything. But parents know what's good for them, and they have to give them what is best for them. And think about, many of you are more mature than this because you've been a Christian for years. Think about even, especially maybe when you first became a Christian or when you started understanding the power of prayer. For some of us that grew up in the church, when we were teenagers and things, and you start understanding that God says He'll give you what you want, think about some of the things you were asking for. And maybe you even got upset that God didn't give it to you. I think that's what James is talking about, is that it's all right to ask. And here's the thing, it's God doesn't want us focused on everybody else and saying, that's what I want, that's what I got to have. What He wants us doing is saying, God, I feel like I could use this. I feel like I want this, and I'd like to ask You for it. God, if You want to give it to me, if You believe that's where my life needs to be, I'm going to trust You. And isn't that what Jesus talks about our Heavenly Father in the Sermon on the Mount? That, you know, a good father is not going to give his son a serpent when he asks for a piece of bread. But the Father knows what we need before we even ask Him. Give us this day our daily bread. He talks about that in the model prayer. The overall emphasis of the model prayer is trusting the Lord. That's what James is saying. Is that we would solve our jealousy problems if we took our desires to the Lord and said, Lord, it's great that You bless those people with those things. They're using them wisely. You know, I'm thankful that You blessed Ricky with that great ministry. Thankful that he was able to baptize 75 people or 78 people at one time. Lord, I wish You'd let me do that. But Lord, I'm going to trust in You and not be jealous of Him. You see what James is trying to say about jealousy? The solution is us bringing our desires to God and trusting the Lord. Some signs of jealousy in our life is pleasure from the failures and misfortunes of others. When we start getting pleasure from other people's failures, and when we start getting resentment, some people will even get, they'll take this resentment and the justification, they'll get justification for it. And often this leads to an entire category of people. They don't like rich people. They don't like blonde people. They don't like people. Why don't they like that category of people? Well, if you go back, it comes back often to some form of hurt or jealousy that they had years back. So that's what jealousy actually is. So how do we overcome it? Let me share 3 things with you of how we overcome it. Number 1. We own up to it in our life. We own up to it in our life. Imagine the reality of this conversation. Imagine the reality of this conversation. If you were to talk to God and say, God, you owe me. That goes against what all of us know as Christians. It's not right, is it? In other words, God, James 1:17, is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. Think about how really our jealousy speaks to God. God, you owe me. Why didn't you give me, and you fill in the blank, God, why didn't you give me, whatever it is, and it may be physical, it may be, you know, family, it may be whatever it is. Why didn't you give me that you gave them? This is what the church in Corinth was struggling with. They were all, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, they were all struggling about spiritual gifts. And really what they were saying is, God, why did you give them tongue speaking and you didn't give it to me? And I'm jealous of that brother because he's got tongue speaking. I'm jealous of that brother because he did a miracle out in the streets. God, why didn't you give that to me? And they're jealous over that brother. And what they don't realize is when they're jealous over that, what they're really saying is, God, you gave the wrong gift. If you would have given it to me, I deserve it. You see, jealousy is really a statement against our belief in God. And jealousy is something that we can see in others, and others can see it in us, but we often can't see it in ourselves. And Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7, 1 through 5. And when we have to look at the speck in our own eye, we're so busy looking at the speck in our brother's eye that we don't see the plank in our own eye. We have to own up to it. We have to own up that, you know what, this is something that I'm really upset at them, and it's not anything they've done. It's me. Number two, we have to recognize our own self-worth and blessings. When you think about that conversation we just had with God, God has richly blessed us. He's made us in His image. He gave His Son to die for us. God does not owe us anything, does He? God doesn't owe us anything. Jealousy is often connected with our own fears and feelings of inadequacy. Why were the Sadducees and scribes and Pharisees so jealous of Jesus? It wasn't because of Jesus, was it? It was because of their own fears and inadequacies. It was because they were afraid if Jesus was popular, if Jesus was truly recognized as the Messiah, then what would it mean to them? It would mean that their power, their popularity was going to have to take second place. So they couldn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, even though He was doing all these miracles, even though He was obviously the Messiah. They could not recognize Him as the Messiah because they were jealous. Because of their fears. Their fears. Oftentimes, when we're jealous, we need to stop and ask ourselves the question, what am I afraid of? Why am I feeling so inadequate? Why am I feeling so low? When we think about the situation with Rachel and Leah, it's interesting in that story because they both had something that the other one wanted. Rachel couldn't have children. So she was jealous of Leah. And she was bitter and angry and jealous of Leah because Leah had children. But Leah was looking at Rachel, and she was wanting to be Rachel because Rachel, her sister, had the looks, and she had the love of Jacob. So neither one of them could be content, neither one of them could be happy, even though they thought, this is how jealousy works, they thought that the other one had it all. But both of them were miserable, even though they had what the other one thought was all. Isn't that how it works with jealousy? Oftentimes, the people that you're jealous of are looking at your life and saying, if I just had what they had, I could be happy. That's the way it was with Rachel and Leah. It's when we recognize our own self-worth and blessings. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Then we'll go to our third point. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Paul says something very wise here through inspiration. He says, but we will not boast beyond limitations, but we will boast only with regard, verse 13. Verse 12, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves. And here's the important part. But when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. Paul says that I should not look at other people as the standard. I shouldn't always be looking at other people and other things as that will make me content and happy. I shouldn't compare myself to others. Paul talks in other places how we should compare ourselves with Jesus. That Jesus is the standard, that we're all trying to mature and be like Jesus. And here's the thing. If I'm always comparing myself with others, I'm probably going to be one of two positions. I'm either going to find people, and I can do this, so can you. I can find people who are a lot better than me, and I'll feel awful, like I never measure up. And I'll live guilty and low self-esteem and struggle with inadequacy. Or I can find people who, in my estimation, are a lot, and I hate to use the term, but for lack of a better term, they're a lot worse or weaker than me. And I can feel really good, and I can feel boastful, and I can feel prideful because I measure up, in my estimation, better than them. Paul says, when you do that, you're foolish. That's what jealousy is. That's what jealousy is. We got to recognize our own self-worth and our own blessings. The third thing, and this is what Stanley emphasizes as his one thing, but I think, and it needs to be the kind of the emphasis of as we close and bring all this to a completion, is that we've got the habit to overcome jealousy. So we all struggle with jealousy. I struggle with it. We all struggle with it. So how do we keep jealousy at bay in our life? We have to conscientiously make it a habit to celebrate the successes of others. So force yourself to intentionally celebrate the success of other people. Now, I'm not saying be flattery. I'm not talking about just being false. But especially the people you would celebrate their failure. Especially the people that you would celebrate their failure. Deep down you would get some kind of sinful satisfaction because you feel like you deserved it and you didn't get it. Celebrate it when other people have it. I think Paul says it a similar expression when he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. When you feel, sometimes it's easier to weep with those who weep than it is to rejoice with those who rejoice because you can secretly be jealous of those who are rejoicing. And so conscientiously, intentionally choose to celebrate the successes of others. See their talents. See their blessings. See whatever they have that you wish you had, whether it was physical looks, whether it's financial means, whether it's family, whether it's children, whether it's whatever it is. See that as God blessing them and be thankful for that and be thankful for all the ways God has blessed you. And be joyful. Be joyful in your blessings and choose to celebrate the blessings of others. You see, we must hold ourselves to a high standard. This would keep down much of the fussing, much of the bickering, much of the arguing that Paul and James talk about. Instead of being bitter and jealous, if we chose to rejoice and celebrate. The best story that I can think of as we think about this point would be Jonathan and David. It's amazing to really look at that story because David is the one who was the shepherd boy who really didn't have anything. Jonathan was the prince, the king's son. He was in line for the throne. And when the shepherd boy was anointed by God and he was going to become king, Jonathan allowed, not only did he allow, but he was a best friend and encourager to David. Think about what that would have been. His father was trying to kill David. And Jonathan stood by his friend He stood by the decision of God, and he encouraged David. That had to be extremely hard. Talking about a higher standard, Jonathan chose. He chose to accept God's decision, to accept the blessing God gave David, and to rejoice with him instead of being jealous of David. It's where we need to be. As we conclude this lesson, jealousy comes from the heart. We overcome it by owning up to it, by realizing our struggle with it, recognizing our own self-worth and blessings that we have, and by celebrating the successes of others. If you have a need this evening, if you need to respond to the gospel, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, we want to encourage you to do that. If we can help you in any way, come as together we stand and sing. Ooh, at the door.